You're listening to Everything is Workable, a podcast that examines how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. I'm your host, Caitlin Hatch, creative polymath and dedicated consumer of Dharma talks, Dharma books, self-help books, and the wisdom of others. I started this podcast as a way of showing my gratitude for these teachings and to expand my own understanding. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today's episode is coming to you from Australia, so you may get some ambient sounds of lorikeets and whatnot, so you just have to deal with that, because I don't do recording studios. So, in my last episode on regret, I touched on karma just a little bit. I considered going into it more in that episode, but honestly, karma is a topic that fills multiple volumes of books, so I feel like it really needs a whole episode dedicated to just it, and this is probably not going to be the only episode dedicated to just it. It's likely something that I'll revisit because lately I've actually been studying karma. But before I go any further, I'm going to be issuing a disclaimer. I am not an expert on karma. I'm not even close. I'd go so far as to humbly say I am probably not really qualified to talk about karma for more than 10 minutes, let alone 15 to 25. So nothing that I'm going to share is because I feel I have some sort of a grasp of it. I'm comfortable with saying that I have a pretty good working knowledge that I apply in my practice that I feel comfortable with for myself. Some of the stuff that I've studied, I have some experience of, but most of my understanding is purely from an academic perspective. And of course, the entire point of this podcast is for me to explore these teachings by challenging myself to share my understanding to a wider audience. So that's why I'm doing this episode. And all that being said, this really does feel like a good platform. Therefore, I'll just jump right in now. First of all, of course, crediting and thanking Pema Chodron, Elizabeth Mathis Namgyal, Zigar Khonsul Rinpoche, Treleg Kyabgon Rinpoche, and Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche for providing me with the information that I'm going to share, or the background on the information that I'm going to share. So, last week's episode, I talked about one of the big misconceptions of karma, which is that it's a system of punishment and reward. It's used that way commonly these days, like someone will say something like, oh, instant karma, or they got their karma in reference to someone getting what they deserved, as in like something supposedly bad happened to someone and then the people who dislike them rejoice in the name of karma. That's not true at all. That's not what karma is. I think the most common representation of this misunderstanding that I see, which always makes me giggle actually, is the classic cafe tip jar that invites you to purchase good karma by making a tip. I think I was about 15 when someone told me that good and bad karma didn't exist. That karma was just karma, free of such arbitrary conceptions as good or bad. The view of it as one or the other is an oversimplification, or that's how it was explained to me. And when I was 15, I quite liked being purposefully provocative and really being quite annoying about it. So I like to spout this bit of information to people if they remarked on good or bad karma. I'd be like, oh, you know, that doesn't exist. But I didn't have any idea as to what karma actually was or why good and bad were considered arbitrary in the context of karma and Buddha's teachings. As an adult, and with the introduction of the works of the previously mentioned teachers, I started to wrap my head around it. And the first thing I learned was that karma is energy. So actually, karma is more like physics, as in, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction, and that sort of thing. I still didn't grasp how energy couldn't be good or bad, but at least I got the idea that karma was not about being punished for doing bad things or rewarded for doing good things. Instead, I began to see it as a lot bigger than that, a lot more all-encompassing. But it was still difficult for me to disentangle the good and bad ideas from it because I still had no idea how good or bad could be arbitrary. I felt like that was pretty clear cut. My understanding at that point was that you were either a good person or a bad person. As I've studied more, I've had to examine these dualistic views and how I hold them, why I hold them. Dualism is a human concept and not actually true to how things are. As human beings, we are never just one way. Things around us are never just one way. Elizabeth teaches on this absolutely beautifully, and I had an entire episode on it in the last season. A single human being is both good and bad, and entirely neutral. We're all capable of great kindness and great assholery, to make up a word. We're all capable of showing care and capable of being supremely selfish. All of us. It's very human. It is what makes us human. What's also very human, distinctly human, is our ability to see these things in ourselves and choose to cultivate the positive aspects over the negative. Or we could choose to go unconscious about the whole thing, numb out, and inadvertently cultivate the assholery. So karma is a whole mix of energy, just like people are a whole mix of emotions and behaviors. And that energy determines our experience. For example, if you go about your day feeling absolutely miserable because other people do things you don't approve of, you're going to notice more and more people doing stuff you disapprove of, and you're going to feel more and more miserable. That's karma. That's the energy you invite because it's the energy you create, and it's what you're looking for. Like, have you ever noticed how the same kinds of people will show up in your life regularly? Not the same person, but the same kind of person. Like, the same sort of personality. Like, I had this manager once, for example, who was really difficult. I found her infuriating to work with. I didn't like her work ethic, or what I saw as a lack thereof, nor her disregard for staff's time and energy. She was one of those people-pleaser types who wants everyone to like them so that she came across as fake because she would contradict herself to fit the opinions of whoever she was with. And I was really frustrated with working with her. And I was telling my psychologist about this and the challenges that I had, and, you know, I was just kind of hashing it all out. And my psychologist suddenly interjected and said, "Well, who do they remind you of?" And I paused because I hadn't actually thought if she'd reminded me of anyone before. It hadn't even occurred to me. I wasn't sure who she should remind me of, who my psychologist thought that she should remind me of. So my psychologist started listing traits that she had. She shows up late for work and leaves early. She seems to have a double standard in her work ethic as to the rest of the staff's work ethic. She talks down to staff, especially if you're younger. And suddenly it hit me. She was just like a manager from a job that I'd had about 5 years before, only I hadn't seen it because even though the behavior was the same, I had changed a lot in that time. With the previous manager, I had felt really bullied. I had felt afraid sometimes, quite downtrodden. I lacked any confidence to voice my concerns. With the current manager, I didn't feel picked on because I had more confidence in myself and my professional abilities and levels, but I was still just as irritated with her behavior, just for different reasons. I wasn't intimidated or upset by it like I had been before, but I still had work to do. And my psychologist pointed this out. She said, "You still have work to do because karmically this type of person is going to keep showing up until that work is done." There's a beautiful quote from Pema Chodron that I think of when I notice that I'm experiencing something I've already experienced, that I really didn't want to have to experience again. And the quote is, "Nothing goes away until it teaches us what we need to know." That's karma. Karma is generated by how we relate to the present moment. Regardless of what came before, how we relate to right now can entirely change what happens next. We can try to ignore it or hide it, we can run away from it, we can suppress it, or we can work with it. So if you'd like to learn more about karma, because honestly, personally, studying karma has helped my practice so much. Even if you don't buy into things like rebirth, which is fine, you don't have to, the idea that what we do right now in this moment will determine what comes in the next moment is something that makes life incredibly workable. Because the future is unwritten. Nothing is predetermined. Fate is is a myth. There's no proof of fate. And karma is really, it challenges that. It invites us to say, right now, what I do, what I think, how I choose to act will determine what comes next. And so right now, if I cultivate positive qualities, things that I would like to see more of in my future, then I'm gonna see more of it in my future. It's pretty much guaranteed. So if you would like to learn more about karma and study it more deeply, my top recommendation would be for you to read Traleg Kyabgan's book on the subject, which is titled Karma, What It Is, What It Isn't, and Why It Matters. There's also a really brilliant recording of Annie Pema Chodron interviewing Zigar Khonsol Rinpoche. That's titled Karma, Finding Freedom in This Moment, and you can find that on iTunes or through Sounds True. One final thing before I wrap this episode up. I often see karma being rejected, even by Buddhist practitioners, as something that's really woo. In studying it, I've come to see that any of the woo aspects of it come from these misconceptions more than anything. I don't go in for woo, as my regular listeners will know from my episode titled Learn to Discern from last season. Woo sucks, and I have good ways of testing against it. The more that I study karma, the more that I come to understand it, the more that I apply the way that I practice to an understanding of what I do now will influence what comes next, the less woo it is. It's very practical. Like I said, it's science, it's physics. Even if you're not a Buddhist practitioner, some basic study of karma can be a really useful tool for anyone to see how your current actions will determine your future ones and your future experiences. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to Everything is Workable. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share with your friends, or post it to social media. You can also consider becoming a patron, which has really cool perks like getting art prints or a signed book in the post. Just click the green Become a Patron button on the Everything is Workable Podbean page. Thank you as well to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world so that I could use it for this podcast. You can find more of his stuff on www.dexterbritton.co.uk. And you can find more of my stuff at faunawolfcreations.com.